Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast. It's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't bend. Get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the class.
I don't know, guys. I decided to drink whiskey tonight. It was wow. I'm not supposed to drink. But you know what? Dude, I'm drinking a little whisk.
There you go.
Why not?
I have the whole Gas Digital team sleeping at my house tomorrow.
Are they sleeping at your house?
Yeah, or they have to be there at like...
Well, I told them not. They couldn't sleep at my house, even though I have a guest bedroom that's already set up. Now I feel bad. I said to get a shitty hotel.
Why do you have a guest bedroom that's already set up?
Because I have a guest bedroom that's already set up.
So you just don't want them to stay at your house?
I have something going on tomorrow night that I would prefer them not to be here for.
Are you starting up the jerk parties again?
I'm having a jerk party.
You got a big jerk party tomorrow?
I'm hosting a sick jerk party.
Jerk party's picking back up? It is the season, right? It is the season.
No, I have plans, and I wasn't expecting G, Mike, and Alex to be in my home. I mean, I feel bad now.
It's fine.
No, I mean, Jay likes having guests.
It's okay. We'll go have fun at Jay's house, Lewis.
The pool's not open yet, stupid.
Hot tub is, though.
Ooh.
There you go.
All right. Well, you know what? The hot tub is open, stupid.
But even without the hot tub, you don't sit in smoke pot, watch goofy shit on a big TV.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, well, I guess
plus you notoriously leave the hang when we come to your house anyway. You'll invite us to your house and then not be in the same room as us. It's actually
me.
Yeah,
that's never happened.
I feel stepdad energy.
I feel like it's happened consistently.
I have to go be in my study and stare at the wall in the fireplace.
I must be. Leave me be.
Luis J. Gomez needs to think about his entire life before he podcasts.
Before every podcast. Leave him be.
For a 2-hour reenacting my entire life in my mind before every single podcast. Alex. Smartass Alex. I was just in the Racist Live chat for tonight's Skanks that went out live. We were recording this on Tuesday night. It was a hit, boys.
Oh, the
people loved it.
Leprechaun Jake.
Not only Leprechaun. I mean, Jake, people are being like, dude, Jake is a king. Jake has turned a corner in everyone's mind after tonight's show.
It was a big show for Jake.
It was a huge show. Huge show for Jake.
Got his toe sucked.
Is Dave kind of low or am I crazy?
Let me hear. Dave, go.
I feel like I'm at the just right volume that Alex said I was at.
It's true. Now. Dave's now a little low.
Dave's microphone is too hot.
Is that better?
Little bit. Not a lot of bit. Maybe a smidge, G Mike says.
He's a little bit. What's a little bit? What's a little bit?
All right.
Is that a show?
What?
Yeah, it's a little bit. What is that? What am I thinking of?
You're giving me sounds like a wacky noise you're making.
Come on, you remember.
No, because I used to, in middle school, I used to be like, he is a little bitch. And it was like a parody. I used to do parody songs in middle school.
And everyone else in middle school was like, what are you parodying right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yo, everyone's saying how much they love Jake, and I agree, he rules. But I got to say, when Jake took his sock off and flakes of skin fell off onto the floor, I almost threw up.
It was pretty wild.
I don't understand what happened with that Asian kid and that group of friends. I still can't wrap my head around it.
I can't, but there's definitely, when he took his foot off of Jake's mouth, parts of Jake's foot were in his mouth still.
It's
like you take some with you.
There's no reason for that. There was no reason at all. Like I couldn't, like I was joking when I said, hey, let's do that. Let's have somebody suck on Jake's toe.
What type of thing was that, like in it to his friend group? He was like, I'll do it, bro. I'll go suck a gross dude's toe or something. Like what? is
you think I don't love not sucking a gross toes?
Dude's toe, a gross toe on a dude.
Some Sorry, people Jake. Won't even suck on a toe, like just a nice a hot chick's one. Toe, like a hot chick's toe. Some people are like, ew, I would never put a hot chick's toe in my mouth.
A super clean hot chick's toe, I would suck because I don't give a shit. I have no interest in sucking it. It does nothing to me for me.
Nothing.
I agree. I
couldn't care less.
You've summed up my
position. But I will.
Too,
but Barry. I will do it. A super clean, like hot chick's foot for sure.
Can I make a point here?
Yeah.
When it's super clean, it loses a little bit of its appeal. It needs to some, kind of be in a shoe all day.
No, not to me. That's if you then you have a foot fetish. You think
I don't have a foot fetish? That's a crazy thing to say.
Well, except you just described a foot fetish.
You in, look. You enjoy I love foot play.
I no. I enjoy. If it's a hot chick with a nice small foot and it's got a little, maybe just a little funk, like she spent the day at work, like jogging around. I don't know what her job
What's
would
her
be.
Job?
Jog around.
But okay, we're dealing with a professional jogger. Okay, I follow. Continue. Gotcha.
Are there any
Best
jobs?
Buy, Best Buy jogger.
Are there any jobs where you have to jog around?
No, I don't think so. You could rollerblade around at Abercrombie, I think.
Can you?
I believe they isn't that the place where they had the rollerblading.
Don't tempt me to get a job at Abercrombie.
Oh, dude, you in some fucking underwear? Dude, are you already Are you already dropping LBs like crazy quick?
Oh yeah,
so funny. I mean, your face already does look thinner.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm probably maybe down 20 pounds in the past few days. But it's just water weight.
Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it's water weight.
It's just. No, I know. There's just some.
Well, definitely. Like, that was definitely fluctuate. A salt issue. Whatever your issue was, there was a salt thing.
I was a salty dog this week, boys.
Oh shit!
The way it works with
that
your
was
fat
water
cells,
and salt.
Your fat cells engorge and then they flatten. You don't really lose your fat cells ever. This is why people have like loose, flabby skin. Is because you're if you can imagine your fat cells get all fat and juicy and then get all flattened. That's why you have to get liposuction to remove the fat cells. And my fat cells can get very engorged very quickly.
Yeah. With salt and water.
But I feel good. I've run three days
quick,
now.
That's quick to lose it back.
Well, it's just the water weight.
He's been pissing for 2.5 straight days.
I keep on spitting.
This is his break. This is his one break he's taken from pissing.
Yeah. Lewis just took like a safety pin and like jabbed himself in his stomach all the way.
Leaking out.
Yeah, I feel a lot better. But anyway, I don't have a foot fetish. I think I have a very healthy what the average man feels about feet.
Just a red-blooded American who likes an occasional foot job.
I don't think there is such a thing as the average American's interest in feet.
I would say most people, I think maybe something like 80% for most people. Foot play is just not even a part of sex.
Couldn't give a shit.
I don't know if that's true. G-Mike, how do you feel about a foot?
I like feet. Like, I like cars. Like, I could tell when there's a nice one, but I'm not, like, into it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Fair.
But when there's a nice one, it's cool.
Yeah. I feel about feet like I feel about cars. I suck on them. I suck on my car.
But I've never thought a woman's beautiful foot has ever looked as good as a really nice car.
No, I mean, obviously, you're not going to fight. You choose car over foot any day of the week. Obviously, like a brand new car or a brand new foot.
Well, I don't know, Lewis. Foot. How about a Ferrari or a super sneaky cheese foot?
Let's see. Harrington sucked my toes in Jamaica. Alex, you can come on and say this. You don't need to put it in the chat. You can say it right now. It's Friday Night Hang. We're all just chilling.
Yeah, we were at the pool. We were in the pool hanging out with everybody. And whenever nobody was looking at us, Mike would put pretty much my entire foot in his mouth. And it was crap. I was on a little drug that was making me laugh really hard, too.
To be fair, Mike thought it was a Jamaican beef patty.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he was just trying to suck fucking clams off your toes or something.
Alex, out of all the men you've been, I mean, I guess it's not even, this is a weird thing because you can't be like, oh, what percentage of men were in defeat? Because you have to cross a threshold with a woman to be like, hey, let me suck on your toes.
I've never had a dude like be into feet like that. Like,
yeah, but I bet you got some bony ass bitch feet.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the bony. Yeah, they're not my favorite feet.
Alex has fucking witch feet.
Alex, has a guy ever asked you to crank on his nips? I always find that to be a funny one.
No, I don't think I've ever touched a man's nipple in a sexual setting.
Would you if the guy asked for that, would you be like, okay? Or would you be okay? Would you do it? Would you say you're not into it? Would you do it and be like, this is the last time this is gonna happen? Or do you like, I'll get into some nip cranks?
I feel like it's probably not my thing, but like if specifically if Harrington wanted me to play with his nipples, like
Hold on, play with his breasts.
his areolas.
it's like I
But
guess I would, but I don't think either of us would like it.
you'd be, if he wanted you to, you guess you would. But if you found out that was this thing he's kept from you for a while, would that make you now, would you judge him? It doesn't make you love him less, but you're like, but that's like, I wish that wasn't a thing.
I'd be like, I hope we don't have to do it every time. Like, can we skip it sometimes, you know?
I feel like Alex and Mike are deep enough in a relationship that just having anything that you kept from them at this point would be a little bit weird.
Yeah, I agree
You
with
know what I
that.
mean? Like you're like with someone for a while, you've had a kid with them, you live together. It'd just be a little bit weird if they were like,
But
"Hey,
what if
this is what
one
I'm
time,
into all
it's not
this
that
time and I haven't
crazy.
told
Here's the
you."
thing. One time a million years ago, a girl maybe blew in his asshole while he jerked off on all fours, let's say, and it was fantastic. This is all hypotheticals. And he's man, he's like, I wish, you know
I don't know
what? I
why
can't.
the idea of somebody blowing in my asshole is making my teeth hurt.
That is weird.
I
Oh, because he reminds you of the time that you blew into some guy's asshole and he punched you right in the teeth. You have a muscle memory, dude.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
Alex, so he's, but now it's the thing. He's like, when I find the girl I love, I'm going to bring this up. And he's just never found the right time. He's like, I really want this in my repertoire in my life. And I want to bring it up to you. And it would mean the world to me. And we have to do it. I need you to blow my asshole. We're going to call it 4 times a month.
No, I don't think I could do that.
That's devastating to the relationship. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a deal breaker on his end that I'm not blowing in his asshole, then we have a different issue, I guess, you
No,
know?
that'll hold up in divorce court.
Yeah.
Irreconcilable differences. I'm not blowing in this jerk-off's asshole. While he jerks off, no less.
Oh my God, you know what it's called? Do you know what foot fetishism, do you know what the technical name for it is? This is crazy.
What? Pedo something?
Podophilia. Dude, I'm a
No.
podophile. They need to change the name. It can't be one letter off.
Holy shit, dude. Well, how
Dude.
about it's funny because a lot of time, you know, it's funny, Carla used to represent this guy
It
in a
was a
firm. No, better. No, this is better. It's better than just being a
pedophile.
podophile. He went to jail. His sentence or whatever he was charged with was from getting from underage boys. He was gay. From underage boys, it was only foot pictures he was getting from them. So he was a
He
pedophile
was a podophile
podophile. A podophile pedophile.
pedophile? Dude, that is fucking one of the
What came
funniest.
first though? The pedophile or the podophile?
Let's see. Sexual
There's the question.
attraction is
Now we're cooking with gas, gang.
known as podophilia, is among the more common fetishes. While exact percentages vary across studies, research indicates that a notable minority of men report such interest. For example, a 2000 study analyzing online fetish communities found that 47% of individuals with fetishes for body parts focus on the feet.
Yo,
Yeah,
yeah.
but that doesn't really give you much of an overall number.
I know, but
Seems to be the
if you're a
one.
dude, you sort of fetishize whatever you fetishize. So I feel like
Oh, buddy,
I think
there's guys who want to lick armpits. There's guys who want to do all kinds of
I
shit.
lick everything.
I'll lick everything.
I lick everything, dude. Armpits, face, butthole.
I would lick armpit. I don't know if I'm looking for it, but if it's in the path, for sure. I wouldn't
No, if I get
avoid it.
se if I'm sexually attracted enough to a girl, I get very like bitey and licky. I'll lick her eyeball.
Me and you were so sensual, dude.
We're fucking sensual ass dudes. Damn, dude, the way you say that in your Maryland mansion, it's kind of turning me
Yeah.
on right now.
Dave, not like you come with that fat dick and gorilla fuck.
Yeah,
I mean, loose,
dude, if
dude.
you that's the thing, you need to have a little dick in order to start licking eyeballs.
Dude, I write poetry on their bodies with my tongue.
If you had a big dick, you don't need to do any of that. You just fuck them, and they're like, "That's
Yeah,
the
you just fucking
rules."
go in there and lay dick and you make their eyes go real big and they can't believe it and then they beg and hope to God that you call them again. me and Lewis, they want to call us again because I've given them a fucking full-on VR experience.
It's so funny. Actually, Jay, you're kind of onto something here. Like, me and you have been notable fuckboys with women that we've, like, dated, where it's like we very quickly will get into being like, hey, I want to be with you forever. Sure. Dave doesn't need to do that because he's got a fat cock.
They want to be with him forever. He's going to keep chicks off his big, fat log.
We're fucking
me and Lewis. Me and Lewis start telling our hopes and dreams and fears to prostitutes.
Fucking, I am out there swinging for my life, just hoping that anything I could do could possibly hook this woman.
What if I
woman.
Tell you that I still get scared? Would you hold me in the times that I feel most alone?
Oh, fuck, dude. That's such a fucking great point.
Well, there is a weird. It is a weird thing that both of you, I feel like, do have in common, is that you'd both be very quick to be like very emotional with a chick very quickly.
I'll hold a hand, not, girl's hand on the first
date. But both of you, I believe, not like in a fuckboy way, like in a, or maybe it is. I don't even really know the term. That's a young person term. I don't know. But like you'd pass a lie detector test at the time. Both of you would like you just are in. I mean, you might wake up the next morning.
I think
like,
that's oh, subject.
That retarded.
I think it's subject to subject, but I know. Yes.
I know, Jay, have you had this? I've had at least two or three times in my life, like a girl the next morning being like, hey, did you mean what you said last night? I'm like, well, what did I say? She's like, you told me you loved me.
Holy shit. No. No.
In half tired stupors, I've told girls that I was in love with them.
Wow.
Multiple times.
That's not. Yeah, pre-not on clarity, that is a good term for it, but for sure it's definitely before you pop. We should have a family. I just met you at a fucking Irish pub 2 hours ago.
You mean everything to me. What's my name? Shut up.
Hey, can I read you some of my poetry? I don't share this with a lot of people.
Dave, we're just romantic. Stop being, I understand, dude, you don't have to be romantic because you got a huge cock, but whatevs.
I'm married.
Yeah.
Romantic.
I know you're not romantic. Are you romantic? What's the most romantic thing you've done for your wife in the past year?
Did you lick her armpit?
Yeah. Did you lick her armpit? Did you tell your lover after a day?
It's just like the hot water was out. I was doing it for sexual reasons. Just bathing. I don't know. We've done like
Dave's dick is so big. You need a cold shower after a night with Dave.
Seriously, you can just tighten up your holes that are blasted apart from you.
Yeah, dude.
Fat, thick dick.
After a girl fucks me or Jay, she's like, I'll take a warm shower. Can you leave?
Yeah. She goes, my pussy's fine.
Yeah, Dave's wife needs to fucking do an ice plunge every time she has sex with him.
Me and Lewis fuck a chick. It's like someone's peeing back inside of her.
Yeah. They hate it. If there was a woman that had my body naked, I would think she's gross and I would never have sex with her again.
It is a weird, dude.
I'm far too superficial to fuck me.
I don't know, dude. I swear, to this day, I've always had like a, there's like a little boy element of me that still can't believe that women let men do sex to them.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just some element or like, how do you possibly let men do this to you? Like, how do you like this?
Well, can we not find
awful. Men are just so hideously unattractive.
But couldn't we not find point of view pornography where like the woman's point of view or just a guy hulking over you?
Yeah, we should bring the VR headsets in one day and we could just be a woman for an episode. We were going to do that to my Aunt Amory. We were going to put it on and then have a black guy fuck her and just film a reaction.
She's 90. She's ready.
Dude, she's also, like old school. She's 87, like old school, you know, Italian American. She would say racist things.
Nice.
100%.
She would have been great for our old episodes. Yeah. God damn it. That's funny. Are we, we're supposed to be doing, Skank turns, right?
No.
Are we not? I think we're just doing turns? Those at the live shows, we said, no, right?
No. Live shows Thursday, we're going to do that. Well, I mean, we're doing Thursday. We're doing a
special. I thought we were stretching it over a bunch, and then the live ones were going to be when they come in.
No,
Well,
I
we were
think
thinking
Friday.
about interviewing them on a Zoom episode, but we want to wait until last night's episode comes out publicly so everybody knows that they made it to the next
And then
round.
Thursday, we're doing one more opening round, right?
I believe so, yes.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Would you let a girl suck on your toes, Jay?
I ended up giggling. Too ticklish for that.
I am very ticklish. No, we're not doing a double Zoom week this week, Northwest Ken. We're doing an in-home show. We're doing it at my house or we're doing it at your. Jay, do you want to just do it at your house since everyone's sleeping there? I don't care. People can do it here.
Slightly easier for me to do Jay's house, I think, but doesn't matter.
I mean, me and Jay are like 14 minutes from each other, so
It's not a big
it's
thing.
not
It's
that
just
much easier.
let me
14
see where the
minutes
house is
closer to
at
me, bro. Yeah.
and where we could do it.
Okay. Make it work. It's all good.
Maybe, I mean, I have a whole acoustic floor.
Dave, have you ever had a girl suck in your toes?
I do not think so.
Dave, have you ever had a girl lick your tiny ass?
You have to grab your butt cheeks really close and open them like this? It's like cracking a fucking papaya.
I feel like Dave doesn't even have ass cheeks. It's just an asshole that just sitting there on his lower back,
I gotta
ready to
figure something
go.
out on plane.
G
My ass is built in some weird way that, like, sitting on a plane, it's the only reason I wake up. I would sleep straight through on a plane except I have to readjust my ass every fucking hour.
You're like the ass meat.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It feels like my, like, knees on the ground almost. It's crazy. I gotta hit some squats, dude. Get this fucking
Dude, wait
bedunkadunk.
till fucking Swole Academy opens up. I'm gonna come over every day.
When Swole Academy's open, it's gonna be huge. I ordered all the stuff today.
What'd you order?
Bunch stuff.
Tell me, talk to
Well,
me.
it's not a bunch of stuff, but it's a
It's like
combo bench.
it's like I
It's
ordered
there was
one
one
yoga mat.
follow-up question. One
Well,
10-pound
technically,
dumbbell.
it's only like one. It's only two stations, really. I got a combo bench for
What's a combo bench? Pull it up in the when he says the stuff, pull it up in the so we can get visual so I know what a combo bench
rogue
is.
combo bench.
Please.
Ray, don't bring it up. Don't bring up the prices and stuff.
Why?
Isn't that weird?
Why is that weird? Bringing up the price of a bench that you bought?
To
Who
give him an
cares?
itemized list of what I bought today.
Well,
I
just give me
mean,
the type of bench and not necessarily the
but hold
combo
on. Before you
bench.
do that, I want to know why would anyone give a fuck about how much you spent on your gym stuff?
Especially when they're going for 15% off.
Are you worried that people are going to rob you for your gym stuff?
I
The
don't.
hardest stuff to rob you for?
No, it's got nothing to do with that at all. It's just weird.
Why is it weird?
I don't know. I wouldn't tell people like what my car costs or something like that, really.
Why? They can just look it up. If you say the type of car you have, why are you making them do the extra step? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, Jay, how much does your fucking car cost?
Doesn't really tell you anything if you just say the car and give you a roundabout. But if you say a Honda, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a $80,000 one.
I don't understand how that's the standard.
I
Jay,
don't know if
you
it
just
is
spent
too.
$1 million on a house. Why would you not tell them how much your combo bench costs?
I don't think I've ever said that I spent $1 million on a house.
Well,
You're
now that
giving all
that's
this
out,
information away.
the combo bench doesn't really seem that relevant. So, might as well.
$979 on a combo bench. Cool.
Well, I got the combo bench. You could do squats and bench, obviously.
You mean like the rack?
Yeah, but it's different.
Let me see what it is. What's a combo bench?
These really aren't good
Is it more like
examples.
any one of these in particular?
What are you talking? Are
No.
you talking about a rack?
These are shitty ones. Just bring up the Rogue combo bench.
Just hide the price in post. Let's see.
No. Go down. There you go. That.
Ooh,
Nice. That's cool looking.
$2,950. Wow.
Wow, Mr.
Everyone's gonna
Okerson.
fucking judge you for that $3,000 combo bench
I'm
that you're
sorry,
never
dude.
gonna use.
You were right, though. You shouldn't have let
No,
that
this is
out.
how I
I'm looking at
use.
you in a totally different way, dude. Wow.
I'll use this
It's
for sure.
not the same old Jay.
Combo bench. I got dumbbells. Got the The rubber dumbbells
Oh
up
my
to
God, you know those are
5
about
to
a
seven,
those are about $1 a pound. Boys, do
five to
the
seven,
math.
5 to 75.
All
I'm not sure what
five,
this. I'm not
ten,
sure what this
15.
game we're playing is. I'm telling you the stuff. I said, should we hide the thing? And you've been riding my ass ever since.
Now I
I
want to
haven't made it.
know.
I haven't made a thing about it since. I said, look up the actual one if you want.
Now I'm gonna itemize every single thing, and we're gonna get a total cost of your home gym.
We don't have to talk about my home gym at all.
I want to
You
talk
brought up
about it,
Swole
Jay.
Academy. You said you wanted to come to Swole Academy. I said, I ordered the
Jay, why are you
equipment
even
today.
defensive? You spent $3,000 on a
Thought
comic
we were
book
going to
club.
have a
Why are
good
you being
time.
defensive?
I'm not. I'll show you all the equipment, but you're going, ooh, somebody bought $100 a thing plate.
I know. I didn't give a shit about the price at all until you said, don't tell everyone the price of my combo bench. I'm
I
just
didn't even
impressed
say
that
that.
you're
I said,
so
if you want to hide the
rich.
score, if you want to hide the fucking price.
Alex, average price per pound of weights in New Jersey, please. shit. See, Northwest Ken gets it. He said Jay started it.
Started what, Northwest kid? What
We're
does that
fighting.
possibly mean?
We're fighting now, and it's because you started it because you were embarrassed about the price of your combo bench.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm wondering if it's cunty to say I spent $3,000 on a bench.
How's that cunty at all? I don't understand how that's cunty.
I don't know.
Yeah, I
Because you
think
could probably buy a
that's
bench. You could probably buy a bench for $300.
yeah, probably. I think that's what I spent on my bench. It ain't no combo bench. I got combo bench money. I got a bag of combos and then a $300 bench.
And all you do on that bench is eat your combos. You just
That's how
sit
I
there
eat
and eat
them
your
on the
goddamn
bench.
combos. Hey, this is my combo bench.
Oh shit. Dude, when I was
You gotta leave the combos on the bench. It's the only time you're allowed to have them.
Dude, combos were a go-to for me back when I was young and ate like shit.
I'd still say on a long road trip and you stop at a place and you have to just get snacks at a thing, it's still a top three option.
Know what I like doing? Maybe this is like a textural thing. Know if that was the word, but like you bite it a little
Yeah,
bit.
you kind of eat it in half and then kind of
Yeah,
tongue out the cheese a little
yeah.
bit. You know exactly what I'm talking
You
about.
eat the
You know
fucking combo's
exactly what you
pussy?
need. Yeah.
You go and you break it and let the combo fall apart in your mouth, and then you have just
Hey, combo, I know we just met, but I love you. I want to lick you everywhere.
some sort of like pimento of fucking cheese where you're
And
just
then
like,
later, you find fucking splinters of pretzel in your mouth.
yeah.
Oh, combos rule. But by the way, almost exclusively nacho cheese pretzel. Whoever gets baked with the fucking cracker outside combos are that looks
That's
like
insane.
dog treat.
I like the pretzel and cheese one better than the nacho. There's like another, what is it, cheddar maybe? I don't know, but I like that one better. But yeah, you got to go pretzels. I don't even consider those other combos in the conversation. Whoever gets the
In the
cracker
conversation.
ones. What
Conversation.
are you, some type of podophile?
Oh, cool. Thanks for the visual of combos, you jerk
Well,
offs.
no, she because you could even
I
see
thought you
the
might
I
want a
like the
list of
cheddar.
the
No, I
all the
fuck you, Alex.
different kinds,
Suck on
Lewis.
Al. Suck on Harrington's tits.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, honestly. I'm
No,
trying to help the
Alex,
show.
you're doing
Fair
fantastic.
point.
Don't listen to Lewis. He's hate on everything. He's
I'm in a
hating on
mood
my
today.
benches. He's hating on
Dude,
my
I'm not hating your
gym.
benches. I think it's great that you spend $3,000 on a combo bench. You're self-conscious about being wealthy. I don't want to say that.
I'm not wealthy.
By the average standard of an American, you 100% are wealthy.
What are you going to disclose my financial status?
Jay, I have the numbers. Hold
Yeah,
on.
I'm doing great. I'm still opening for people.
Oh, come on. Come on. Fucking here's Jay trying to be Mr. Everyman over here. You have a fucking nice house. You got a nice bench.
I'm happily.
The bench is a little nicer than your house, technically, but when you consider how much you benches the houses go.
It's a good, nice bench.
Yeah, it's a nice bench.
And I got, yeah, dumbbells, and so it could be fun. It could be nice.
Nice. I'm excited. Let's go fight. Let's start working out together.
Swole Academy.
Are you
Over at
ready to hang?
Swole
Are you ready
Academy.
to hang, bro?
Fucking, yeah. I mean, not to do pull-ups because I can't do those, but I could hang.
Do hangs? Dude, by the way, we did that because that was on Mr. Beast Games. Me and my son went out back into the because my basement gym,
Yeah.
the ceilings aren't high enough to have a pull-up bar, so I have a pull-up bar in
Sure.
my backyard. But one of the things in the game was how long you could hang, like just free hang. How long do you think you could free hang?
How long did the guy
pull-ups.
Do?
No pull-ups. That one's how long the guy did.
Well, I saw the show.
Oh, you watched it. All right, well, you don't remember, so.
But how long? What was like a question. Crazy
I really have no idea. I don't think I've ever tried to free hang, and I have no idea how long, how hard that
is. G-Mike says 90 seconds is a carnival game.
I mean, it's going to be, you know, I don't know. I haven't tried anything like this since I've lost some weight, but I'd say not long, man, not very long.
I thought I'd be able to hang it because I can do.
I want to say 30 seconds, but that might be an overshot.
I can do a good 12, 13 pull-ups, like full extension for my first set. Then I'll go down to like 10, then like 9. I do pull-ups a decent amount. So I thought because of that, I was like, I could probably hit a minute and a half.
And
what'd you do?
47 seconds.
Oh, then I don't know if I could do 30.
47 seconds. James did 45, and he weighs the same amount as a hot chick.
Yeah.
And but this was also, to be honest with you, this was a few days ago when I was being when I was pretty fat, so maybe I could do a little bit longer.
That's a funny thing. Dude, that's when I back when I was fat, but that was days ago.
That was just 2 days ago. They did 100. The guy who won, he just didn't have to go any further. The second place guy did a minute and 45.
Okay, yeah.
Which while they were doing it, I was like, I can do that. I was like, that's crazy. I was like, I feel like I could really do that. Nope. I feel like my shoulders were going to burst out of my fucking body.
I wonder what the science behind that is. You know what I mean?
No.
Like what the behind, like why you get more tired? Like, it seems proportionally that 47 seconds isn't the, like it might take you 40 seconds to do the fucking pull-ups. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting.
To do 12 pull-ups, I'm
it's
saying.
It's just kind of like fucking, yeah, it is grip strength.
So it's grip strength is a lot of it too, yeah.
Grip strength is a lot. I'm just tugging on my soft dick all the time.
Because I guess when you do pull-ups or chin-ups, right, there is almost a second of like release on your hands. And you kind of pull and then like, not let go, but like.
I don't really know.
It's like momentum. You get a few moments of momentum, I guess, with chin-ups.
In school, they would like the girls would do the hang, but they would actually hang with their chin over the bar.
And the fat kids. Thank you.
The fat kids would do it?
Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't want to humiliate me and make me not do. They didn't want to humiliate me and have me not do chin-ups in front of everybody. So they just put me over with the girls to do hangs.
Dude, they literally.
One of Dave's first jokes.
Yeah, girl pull-ups.
Yeah, that's right.
One of Dave's old jokes that I really enjoyed was, what was it? Swinging Through the Jungle.
That was the first joke that I ever wrote. It was goddamn terrible. And Lewis
no, it really tickled me. It tickles me now. Ever. I don't even remember it right now. I'm just remembering how much it tickled me, and it's tickling me a little bit.
It was so stupid. I wrote this before I ever went on stage. It was like about Survivor and how they let you bring 5 things. And things I would bring was 4 monkeys and a roll of duct tape. Yeah. And I would duct tape a monkey to each hand and each foot.
And let them guide you through the jungle. That's a funny joke to this day. To this day, that's a funny fucking joke.
You pretty funny.
Tape 4 monkeys to your it was
I never like found a
let
way
them
to
guide
do
you
it
through the
stage.
Jungle. It's so good, dude.
Well, it's funny to think, what it is funny to think back on is if you have like the knack for funny, right? To be funny. What we all had at the time that we have these jokes that are seem like they're so shitty now to us, but other people laughed at it. It was because your instincts were still there, but you had no experience.
Yeah,
so your jokes were just about nothing. The joke you had, I don't remember what it was at all. You had something about a rocket ship or something. I don't remember fucking it. All the context
of this joke.
Mythbusters. Right. And what was it? What was the concept of it? You don't have to tell me. I'm not going to make it
the amount
joke.
Of times that I heard Dave say myth busted and nobody laugh is pretty funny.
I thought the joke was really good.
No, the joke was good, but we were
so
young.
I got
that,
the joke to do good eventually.
No, you did, but I'm just saying, like, back in the day, I remember.
Me and you also did a lot of shitty shows together.
Yeah, we did shows for 8 people at LOL.
Yeah,
fucking,
yeah. It would have been like Laugh Lounge or
Eastville.
Something back in these days. This was even before Eastville, dude. This was Laugh Lounge. That's when I was doing that shit. Was like before even a stand-up New York,
and that
one
was
that
a
I was
shitty
a
club,
of.
Laugh Lounge that, in New York. Not Laugh Lounge in Edmonton. No, there's one in Canada that was I did that was
no,
really
this
fucking
is
good.
Old. This club closed down many years ago, but it was a shithole.
Owned by a Puerto Rican woman, you know, the funniest of them all.
Oh, she was annoying as shit.
Delilah.
Do you remember PJ Landers, his bit? I used to always do the impression of him going, he goes, I'm married to a crazy or a, what the fuck was it? Puerto Rican woman. The big punchline was like, correction, I'm married to a crazy Puerto Rican woman. There's so many fucking like, we should get a, you don't want to shit on people by name. I guess the Friday Night Hangs where we do it though.
Yeah.
But like,
name names.
Fanoia, just like the, some of the shows he hosts at the Cellar, like the, when the dinosaurs come back, dude, it sounds so sad. Just everyone doing like their bits from like, they stopped in the 90s. They started in the 80s, stopped writing jokes in the 90s. And still do comedy. It's fucking wild.
They use the same act.
Same act. Same inflection.
You know, I almost wish it was the fucking 90s, dude. You just write 1 hour and you're like, that's it. I did it. I have my hour.
Oh yeah, dude. The same crowd work, like the same like setups with the crowd.
I would hate that. I would just hate that. I would not enjoy comedy if I was just doing the same shit.
That was it. The whole point of Seinfeld's comedian. He was like, I've been doing the same act for 20 years. Time to hang it up and write a new hour. You're like, that's what everyone does now, literally every year or two.
You have to. Yeah.
That's no, it's a weird thing. Like, that's how it was when we started. Literally in my time since I started comedy, it went from you were looking to build your first hour and then get a TV show off of it. That was sort of like the idea, right? You have an hour and you tell this whole story and you create this whole world and then you can get a TV show off of that. And then, you know, probably not really give a shit about doing comedy anymore because you're a TV star. To now, like, stand-up comedy is like you got to churn and burn. Some people do it too much. I think an hour every year is legitimately too much.
Yeah, way too much.
I think 2 to 3 years, or even like, dude, a tell does like every 4 or 5 years. But a tell's also a lunatic who hates all of his stuff. A tell could do an hour every year. And
he has a new hour every year.
Could do it. Yeah. He's the guy
that could easily do it and have high quality shit every time. But he's just so like self-critical that he like.
Kurt, if somebody could focus Kurt could do that.
Yeah.
He writes super at a prolific. High pace.
Well,
Nate writes List, at a high pace.
Joe List does it. Joe List does a new hour every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. He does. And like, that's the.
I understand, right? Because once you release a special, you have to start touring new stuff. But I feel like a year to write it and then a year to hone it is sort of like the sweet spot, in my opinion.
I agree. If you do it, if you did, because here's the thing: anything that I've done on a special that I've done for like a year, like less than a year. It's like something that I kind of like came up with within the last year or few months.
Mm-hmm.
And you're excited about it and you end up putting it on. There's all before the special, inevitably
before the special,
in the 3-4 months before that special comes out, you're going to perfect that in some weird way because you're now loose with it for some reason. It's just, I've had that.
Dude,
happen
I wrote
so much.
A
like, motherfuck,
new,
if I can go
new
back.
Ending to a joke after my last special. And I was like, this sucks.
Before it came out.
I was like, right. A complete new ending for the joke. That was like way better. And it's just like, yeah, it's dead. But we're hard on ourselves because that's sort of like, you know, I think most good comedians sort of have that standard for themselves. Audience members don't really give a shit. Like when Nate goes on the road, he'll be like, hey, I did this one on the last, but he'll like introduce it like that. He's like, these are some jokes from my last special, and people get excited about it.
Yeah. There's something about, I don't know what it is. Like the thing with the fan bases of that world, kind of like the clean comedy. It's like something about it is okay with the best of set, because I would watch like Nate's kind of following the lead of like Brian Regan that would do that. These theaters would start chanting Pop Tarts and you'd have to come back out from the curtain and do a joke that they know the words of inside and out. But the person who proved that the most was a Dice Clay. You know what I mean? Like if he would have done a set and not done the 15 poems that you particularly know already inside and out. And if he didn't do one of the ones that you know that you love, it was like missing a song. It was like missing your favorite song at a concert.
It's a little different, right? So like,
no, it's not. I won't accept that.
But people were, they weren't really jokes as much as they almost were songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, nobody was laughing at Dicey. He did on two specials, those things. And
at least
though they like, I didn't laugh like the same way that I laughed at like
they're
Eddie
not,
Murphy.
They're not jokes. They were performance pieces and stuff.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They were almost like you want you. Yes. I would want to hear Dice do the like right now when he did the garden, when we did Kill Johnny.
But you might be a redneck if.
Yeah, but at least those, that was the format of a joke, and you would have new versions of that. Dice did verbatim, Hickory Dickory Docks and Bitch Was Sucking My Cock. The whole crowd is literally singing along or saying along with him. And I get it because he did it at the garden and it was fucking awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, but a joke, I almost feel like the definition of a joke is like set up, punchline, misdirection. You don't know what's coming. And the reason you're laughing is because this unexpected sort of like moment.
But Jay is correct that there is some weird correlation, and I don't know exactly why, between the kind of like squeaky clean comedians and that being like Jerry Seinfeld doing his like classic Seinfeld jokes, like, oh, that's the joke from the beginning of that episode of Seinfeld.
And they want to hear
like
it the exact same way. A cab driver, I think all you need for this license is a face and a name with eight consonants in a row and the symbol for boron. And I heard him talk about that on Stern. It's so funny, dude. Him pontificating on like the perfection. Yeah, him pontificating on the perfection of it, though, is a little pretentious. And also, I don't even agree. I think for him, maybe he picked the best like words for everything. But he was, and I get what he's saying. I agree with the concept. I don't think he applied it. He was like, you know, and I picked the word boron, the symbol for boron, because it's a really funny, you know, the cadence of the words, boron. It's like, sure, cadence of the words. However, the problem was, I believe the symbol for boron is B, which is just the letter B. So conceptually, the joke, it doesn't make sense at all. But it verbally made sense. So, I mean, the point he's making holds true, but like, I don't think he necessarily found that thing. You know what I mean?
Jerry, but people Seinfeld. Do. I call Jerry Seinfeld the boron, a boring moron. Shut up, Jerry. Move it along. Move it along,
he's
Jerry.
Really, I mean, his photo shoot he did in the boy clothes is one of the funniest things. It was a kith or whatever it was that he did a fashion shoot like in the last year, wearing like little baseball caps and little outfits. And he's wearing at one point like a sweatsuit, like Ghostface Killah. And he's not being ironic. He's posing for it.
I didn't even know that he went on Howard Stern, because Howard Stern back in the day did a whole thing about him and his 17-year-old hot ass fucking big titted Jewish wife.
Yeah, absolutely. He did. Now they've become friends because they're Hampton's friends, dude. This is why Stern's a tough listen now. Yeah, dude.
What is this?
I mean, it's a
legitimate promo for Kith clothing. They wanted to use Jerry Seinfeld as the model, so they dressed him up in hipster fat. Jerry Seinfeld's not wearing fucking Penny Hardaway's in a button-down shirt.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
I'm no podophile, but I would suck on that 17-year-old's feet.
Oh yeah, Shoshana.
Oh my god. Oh my god. We can lust after children of the past, right?
She's 52 What's the rule? Now, Lewis.
What's the rule though? I'm not lusting after 52-year-old Shoshana.
Lewis, technically, she was New York fuck age when he was with her. That's why he didn't get in trouble. It was legal, technically. It was.
You'd
just
get in trouble today, though.
No.
Well, isn't
you'd get in? No, not legal
not that
trouble.
He's as big, but isn't
Dane? Oh, career. You'd be in career trouble for sure.
Wasn't Dane Cook doing a similar thing? I guess he was
21. Is different than
Dane
17.
Cook. Dane Cook. They trace back to before 18, and I think they met when she was 16. Announced
at like a house party.
I remember hearing it was like, I think it was like she was 18 when they said they were dating, but then there were like social media posts that were like, you know, can't believe it's our 3-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Wait, what? What the fuck does that mean?
The first thing you performed at my school.
Dane Cook's like a good looking dude. He's so rich. It's like, you have to be such a deep.
He did not age that well. He was were very, very attracted to him, but he didn't age.
But it doesn't even matter. Like Dane Cook probably is objectively still better looking than me.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't think Dane Cook now is better looking than you.
I just have my own. I have my own
vicious circle. Dane Cook could. I mean, at that point, could pull pussy like the biggest rock star and the biggest rapper, honestly. And he was cool looking. You know what I mean? Like you were like as a dude, you'd be like, yeah.
It was out of that time, though. It was like a fucking fitted shirt, fucking fitted jeans. I'll tell everything about that time, and it's a little bit weird because it is. Well, it is our time in a sense. Like we were the young people of that time. But
we were just too poor to have nice clothes.
Dude, I liked all of it at the time. None of it. I remember thinking that those low-rise jeans were so hot. But you like look back at them now and you're like, women? Oh, they're fucking weird, I think, dude.
They're like, a little weird, but it still doesn't matter. Like for me, I'm a monkey. So I'm still going, I can see more of her body. I like
yes,
it. That's
I get
better.
Your point. But it's like, I find all of that stuff. Like when you see like almost like, I don't know. A lot of just the style of that time period, like the very early 2000s, is kind of weird.
Right now, like JNCO jeans are back. Like girls, yeah, like hot I've girls are wearing big ass fucking JNCO jeans like from the 90s. And that's a stylish choice. It's all fucking, you know.
New metal's fashion. Back, dude.
It's all fashion comes in like waves. You know what I'm saying? And I guarantee you that those low cut jeans on women will be back in a couple of years.
Yeah,
it'll just take some fucking bitch that's popular to wear them.
I wouldn't probably
in the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see low cut to the fucking clit jeans that are fucking. They're coming back already, says Alex.
To your clit?
I see it a lot on like reels and TikTok and stuff. The younger girls are wearing them again.
Yeah, it's just by the way, and then for the past few years, it was like fucking high waisted up underneath the tits jeans, which literally never once. I don't know who the fuck came up with that idea. What
the
type
mom
of
jean
fucking
came back,
homosexual
yeah.
came up with that idea? I hate them.
No bueno.
Yeah, I was surprised when those made a comeback.
Just the polar opposite of these fucking low cut like. Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, like fucking, it was like literally they would button it on their clit and they go, look, those are my jeans.
With buttons.
But anyway, buttons. Of that time, Dane Cook had, he had like a cool look for that time. And he's,
oh, yeah.
And yes, Jay is right when you say you cannot, he was like, not even average rock star. Like he could pull post back then, like,
well, he was like one of the only stadium comedians. Like now there's like 10 or 15 stadium comedians.
Oh, yeah. No, he was the one. He was one of one at that time.
Yeah.
It was Dice at a moment for a little bit.
But even Dice, but he was like, he was a sex symbol thing in a way that those guys were. Like he would literally have, Dane Cook at his height would almost like, you'd have to get past the fact that there was just, so there were just thousands of chicks who were just wooing at everything, like he said. You know what I mean? Like almost like to get the laughs, you'd have to get over the wave of just the chicks who were just like there to throw themselves.
And then
at
he
Dane
was like
Cook.
A college act too, so they would go to these colleges, yeah. And he would just clean the fuck up, which is so funny. Like I remember just being a young comic, being 22 years old, starting.
We talked about this on the show not long ago, but it's so true.
And just being like, dude, I can't, dude. I'm gonna fucking go to NACA. I'm going to get fucking 50 bookings at NACA. Never once, ever, not a single booking at NACA. Nothing.
Oh, I got booked at the APCA, the same kind of thing for
like
the
shittier, it was
schools.
Like community college.
For the smaller NACA. Schools, I got booked at that, did it, and then booked zero colleges. Yeah. And then the few colleges I would book, and Lewis and Dave both, you've been with me on several of these, they did not enjoy my brand of humor.
Delhi University?
I mean, Delhi.
Because you've always been you, Jay. You would go up to these children and be like, hey, what's up? You ever have a black cock? And everyone's like, what's happening?
Well, I've always been me, but the thing was, I thought, if it makes sense, I thought I had, and still do, extraordinarily juvenile humor. So in my mind, I was like, I thought like a crowd of 40-something-year-olds, especially when I'm like in my 20s, 40-something-year-olds, 50-year-olds, would think I'm too dirty, and I'm like, kids will get this. They were so upset by it.
You know what it
me
was?
Me and Dave,
it was,
Dave, do you remember we did one? I want to say it was in Maine or something, and we had Adrian Appalucci. Thank God Adrian Appalucci was with us.
Because, said nobody ever.
No, I'm telling you, she saved the show. It was a cop. They did. They hated my guts. Right, Dave, I don't remember how you didn't have to do very long. So
yeah,
I don't remember. But it was me and Adrian were like, and it was, she did fine. Thank God, because they fucking were going to, I thought they were going to chase us out of the school. They were like,
Well, Jake, you don't, you've never, even when you were younger, like you started comedy pretty young, but by the time you're doing those shows, you were still in like your early 30s. You know what I'm saying? 30, 31 years
no,
old.
No, no, no. This is like 20s still, probably. Most of the colleges I did.
I think probably early 30s, the one you're talking about with me and Adrian, because I didn't meet Adrian until I was already like that a few been, years.
Yeah, in. That was probably my early 30s. So I'm saying like, I was doing colleges, 30. But I've done colleges in my mid-20s.
An 18, 19-year-old looks at a 30-year-old. Do you remember when you were 18, you see a 30-year-old? Like, that is like a full-fledged adult.
Yeah, well, in fact, by that point, Dave, I think you could agree with this too. I think by the time Dave was even coming on the road with me, I always acknowledged already that the colleges sucked. It was just if you can get them there a couple bucks,
yeah,
it's good money. That they were never going to be good for me because, yeah, Delhi, like historically, that guy just liked me a lot.
And by the way, it wasn't even good money. It was like $500 for the headline.
No, it'd be more than that.
Was it?
It'd be like 1,000, but maybe like 1,000.
Yeah.
Which was, by the way, everything to me. I mean,
yeah.
When I was doing those black ski trip shows, and they would be like, want to drive forever for, and then do a show for people who are going to hate you, and then drive 2 more hours and do another show same night, and then drive back the next day, and I'll give you $700 total, and I'd be like, mind blown. In fact, some weeks it would only be one show, and it would be $400 or something like that. It wasn't even double for two shows, and that was being ripped off. You were being ripped off by the whoever the black comic was who organized the event. Or took the money from the place, like, you know, oh, I'll book the comedy for you.
Right.
It would say we need a budget of like $10,000 for the comedy, and he would offer. I mean, see, so he would first go to people like, you know, ask a bunch of comics who he deemed more important or higher up the ladder than me, offer them like $1,000 or $2,000, and try to keep $8,000. But they would get a hold of me. By the time I got to me, they'd be do both shows for $700, and
they've gone through Dean Edwards, Roberto Vanderpool, Maceo.
Yep,
all these people have turned the gig down already.
And then it got to a here's the thing: they knew when they sent a white guy that they were going to get a call, like what the fuck, and they might even kick the price down. But if they knock that price down from $10,000 to $7,000, and they give me $700, fucking wild.
Yeah, paid your rent that month.
Paid my rent that month for sure, but I'm just saying, like, some comic who figured out. But those people, has there ever been a successful person that was like a comedy shyster at one point? No, you weren't a comedy shyster.
No, you were not a comedy shyster, Lewis. You were actually
weirdly fair, like to the point.
I'm saying that,
like, if I was making money at the door, it would be split fucking 100% evenly every time.
Like in the black circuit, it seems like the people pop, like kind of popular out of the black circuit before they've had a chance to be like Mike Epps never was in a situation where he was booking ski trip shows.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That ended up being people like Talent and stuff like that ended up doing stuff like that. Will at one time, Rob Stapleton, Lovitz. These names, if you know them at all. All funny guys. But I mean, like.
No, like literally, by the way, if they played their cards right, could have actually been genuinely famous.
Yeah.
These guys like murdered. Like some of these black circuit comics with white people could fucking lay down the hammer and whatever happened. Like that's like in my mind, I'm going like if you could lay down the hammer that hard, like you're just a few decisions away from like doing it right. Like so yeah, something and a lot happened.
Of those guys, you know, I've heard some of those guys before, like kind of talking about, you know, like the kind of conspiracy angle of it all. Cause you know, black people are very conspiratorial. Oh. No. Well, yes, but no, that's what I was saying, conspiratorial.
That's not what I was saying, but yeah.
I'm not going to argue it. But, you know, like they'd be like, yo, look at these. There are these black comics. They fucking murder and they get like no opportunities and shit. And you got to be that much better as a black comic. But it was always kind of like to me, it was like, yeah, I just don't think anyone's trying to keep them down. It's just that they almost like would get insulated.
They can't read a contract.
Well, I don't. From being on the inside of that, I know what the thing was with it. They had the similar fear. They had it in their head.
Dogs and water.
In the black circuit, they had it in their head that they were that these rooms were white. These were white audiences, and. You know, okay. And when they did that, they would be like, they're not just like, I understand this because when I started doing the mainstream rooms, I was like, uh-oh, I got a fucking catalog here back full like P. Diddy So Crazy jokes. which would be very topical now. But at the time, it was just talking about his music and producing and jokes about, you know, that said words like Timbaland and Magoo. So things that were like, when I went to that, so I understand their fear, but they had a thing like, oh shit, I'm not gonna do well. These white crowds won't get me. And then when they get the opportunity, a lot of times the black circuit comics that did come over end up doing the same fucking set forever because they're like, these few jokes work, and they're just the most basic jokes, like because this white woman's afraid of me, and then some because it's white people. It's just like these. It's just dominate the room with like
I mean, if you go to
overbearing blackness. These are funny people, but it was just it's become
really
so
funny.
Lazy.
Dude, I mean, a lot of these guys were like, I'm talking like actual fucking murderers, like really.
Mike Britt found a nice career. You got a lot of acting stuff,
acts,
man.
Yeah. So, but like, I was booking a lot of shows, and there was certain guys
Mike Britt
that were
did
fucking
not
actual.
Fall, just say he did not fall into that category. Like no, Mike Britt would murder any room. It could
no,
be
no,
a
he
course.
Would murder
he'd
any
room.
He'd be at the
room,
cellar. He'd be
black.
At. He'd do my shows yeah. all the time. But he'd Mike Britt was like,
murder.
I'd book certain people to close. Mike Yard, Mike Britt. These guys were fucking absolute. Like
everybody I'm talking about, by the way, I'm saying murders. I'm
no,
just saying
they're
doing,
level,
but they're doing it with a set that is just like it's. They found it and they ain't going nowhere with it. It's
absolute
right there.
Level the room. There's, yeah. There was a disconnect with the business side in whatever yeah. way it was. They would sign with a shitty manager. Steinberg's had a lot of these guys. Like there was like, they just had a, they didn't play the game in a way where, and it was a different game back then. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about, it was crazy to me watch. So like, if I could kill as hard as Mike Britt right now, cause he's a fucking absolute killer,
sure.
like an absolute murderer. I've never killed as hard as I've seen Mike Britt. Like, he's like one of the guys who I've seen like level to the point of fucking like holy shit.
But Mike Britt's also been to the JFL several times.
No, he's like, done all those things. But what I mean, no, this is not a knock on Mike Britt at all. But
no.
if I could kill as hard as Mike Britt, I would be. I feel like I would be like Tony Hinchcliffe famous or
sure,
Shane Gillis
sure,
famous.
Sure.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like I would have parlayed that being able yeah. to murder that fucking hard into like massive theaters or stadium fucking shows. Because he was that good and killed that hard. And I think a lot of these guys, whatever it was a disconnect with the business. And not to knock him at all, because he's everyone's favorite. It's all of ours. Every one of our favorite lifetime comedian is Patrice. But Patrice O'Neill, when I went to his house, I remember I went to that little place in Jersey City.
Sure.
I was like, really? This is it? Like, yeah. It was a little condo, two bedroom. Like,
and by the way, he was proud of it. It was a two floor, like it was a townhouse. It was attached to like five other houses. And but shared driveways and everything, yeah.
$500,000 house, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe
at the most.
I don't think it was that at the time.
At the time, but would maybe it would maybe sell now for $750,000? It wasn't.
It was
like,
also in a. It was also in a bad area. Weirdly, it was just in the middle. It was like a new development.
I think you could get it for less than $750,000 today. To be honest,
it was disappointing to go like, oh, he's the best.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, just going to his house for that barbecue, being like, holy shit, dude. Like, this is like this. And he was the fucking best.
Brick, you shouldn't be sad because I'm telling you, no one knows the thing. Like, he was proud as shit to own it. He had really nice stuff in it. He had a really nice car. You know, he prioritized certain things. Like, and it was just him, you know what I mean, essentially there. And then eventually Vaughn. But like, but I know what you're saying.
Does his mom live there too or no?
No. Vaughn.
No, I thought it was up saying his mom because his mom was there when
she would come there on the holidays and the barbecues. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she didn't live there, but he would, he had Vaughn and her daughter lived there at one point. But like, it was absolutely space wise, very, very small. The downstairs.
It was nice. But once again, sure. It was considering how talented Patrice O'Neill was. It was just like there was a disconnect with Patrice yeah. and the business that people don't even fucking realize. He just wanted to sort of do his own thing. Maybe it was completely self-sabotaging or just self-inflicted.
Yeah,
maybe he didn't
self-sabotage plenty.
Mostly that, yeah.
He just self-sabotaging without
it. You have to understand, like, it's like, you look at like guys like Andrew Schultz and guys like Shane will tell you that Patrice is the GOAT. And these guys are worth, you know, $100 million, like, you know, like easy. And you look at somebody
like
Patrice.
I don't think this is an exaggeration to say that those guys make Patrice's yearly income in a show. Like those guys.
I think that we all likely make more money than Patrice O'Neill ever made in comedy.
Oh yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
Which is
crazy.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. That actually makes me sad. Saying that out loud makes me
No, I think I know the Patrice's like rate. kind of what I was taking at that time. I know he had just started doing like door deal stuff.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't have like, you know, the podcast stuff. Like that's kind of like for comedians on our level in our little weird, you know, pocket of all this, it's like you make your money on the road and you make your podcast stuff, or Jay has a radio show or whatever. But Patrice never really had anything like that.
I mean, he wasn't really, like, by the way,
he
didn't make any money. It was before there was money. He did it for the fucking love of the game, right? He was on The Black Office, Phillip but those shows on The Office and Everybody Loves Chris, it doesn't actually pay as much as you think. Television, small parts like that, they really don't. They pay actually pretty fucking shitty because they can get comics to come and do those parts for, you know, a fraction of the price of a fucking real actor, like a Hollywood style actor.
Those are few days a season roles, and they are probably a taxable $1,200 a day.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. It's really not a lot at all.
And a few days a season would be those kind of roles. Yeah.
Jay made shit money on Z-Rock. And Z-Rock was a smaller show than The Office, but it was, I remember.
Z-Rock, I was there constantly on Z-Rock. And I mean, this at this, when I did second season, first season, a taxable, like.
Jay paid.
No, it was a taxable. $600-$700 a week, taxable. And then, like before taxes. And then fucking, and then the season two, they got me up to like 10,000. They would pay for my park, or not, I'm sorry, 1,000. They pay for my parking. 1,000
a week. Yeah.
Yeah. And they pay for my parking.
Six days a week, 12-hour days. Like
5 days a week, a lot of work. 8 to 12-hour days for sure.
Yeah, it's it wasn't as glamorous. It just, we figured we kind of, here's what's funny is like,
so I learned, I don't care about doing it. I don't like doing it. If you're not paying me $1 bazillion, I really am like, I don't, this is not that exciting to me.
No, not at all. What's funny is because like people talk to about
because a third of a rogue bench a week. Call bricks.
Fuck yeah, bricks.
That was a great comment from Bricks.
Check out 1/3 of a rogue bench a week.
Take me 3 weeks of fucking 5 day, 12-hour day acting to get 1/3 of a rogue bench.
But it was like, you know, you this is why, like, you know, I know we romanticize comedy a lot, but you guys got to understand, like, when we started, that was like the top. Like the people that we respected the most were like, well, I guess that's like, wow, if I can get $100,000 a year one day, that was like a dream. Like legitimately, like oh my
six
god,
six figures a year seemed implausible.
For the first 5 years I did comedy, I was like, if I could just get like a $40,000 a year, like a teacher salary. We used to say that, Dave. Remember, we used to be like, a teacher salary would be fucking like, imagine that, dude.
No, I told him, I said at one point in my friendship with Dave, in Daydreaming Drives Home, I would say things like, if I could sign a contract now, I would never be on television, but I can make $5,000 a week for the rest of my life. I would sign that contract right now and never think about it again. Yep. I thought that would be a tap out ever possible.
Well, Jay, when Jay, also to give you guys some perspective, because you guys have been listening to the show since before before we had anything, like this is a 13, 14 year old show at this point. When Jay cried over the SiriusXM gig for 2 days a week, Jake, do you mind if I talk numbers right now? Because I know you don't want to tell me your rogue bench numbers, but do you mind if I say what that number? Because I remember what
no,
that
no, was. Yeah,
this,
yeah.
This is from way before you were rich and out of touch. This doesn't, so you have nothing to worry about with this conversation.
Dude, Jay cried over a $40,000 a year contract. $40,000 a year. That's what it was. I remember.
I thought I was
Les?
No, because here's the thing. It went to four shows a week.
I think it was.
It started at two shows a week. No. I think it was two shows a week for $20,000 was the initial thing.
That... No. It was two shows a week at $40,000. What was on the table was, I remember this.
$40,000, okay.
Like, it was a $40,000 per year contract for two shows a week for the Dan Soder show featuring Big Jay Okerson.
Yeah, and when it seemed like that might not happen.
Jay whimpered like a hurt puppy.
No, he caught me, dude. He caught me just asking about money in general. And I was like, and it just caught me in a moment discussing the thing that I was 36, 11 years ago. I was 36 doing comedy now. That's 17 years at that point doing comedy. Because right after that is when I got my hour special on Comedy Central. But it was all kind of happening right at that same time. But he asked me, he's like, yeah, about money. And I was like, you know what's funny? I started comedy at 19, didn't think anything about money. Just thought completely about getting known, into the clubs, getting famous.
Killing, just getting laughs was
you,
the
but also
biggest
thought about, but you also thought about being known. Like, you want to be a known comedian. You see known comedians. You'd be working around people, and people come back every week to see Dave Attell do it again. You know what I mean? And, like, you wanted to be in that mix. And then it just, time just fucking happens, man. And you're surviving. I wasn't in major debt in any way. Carla was, because of law school. But, like, I had no major debt laying on me. I didn't have any kind of credit or anything. But it was just getting by for so long. So I had to hunker down a little bit more, because I said I had a kid so young. So, like, I had to, like, figure that out. But, like, yeah, and then I ended up being 36 years old, and I was like, damn, I didn't think when I was 19, if you would have asked me at 36, I wouldn't be in a position where all my bills are paid. But that when those bills are paid, I'm down to like $250, and now I have to go make it again. Oh, and I was like, and I'm pushing 40, and that was scary. That was terrifying.
It was. I can totally relate to that, because that really is, like, you know, at least for people like us.
And they called me. That's why the reason I cried. Not to cut you up, but the reason it just it was happening mid sense. If we could ever find it, it's great, because I go, I just go, yeah. When I was 19, I didn't think, but just I didn't think at 36. I didn't think at 36 I'd be so, like, you know, like, struggling like this.
Well, people wonder why we, like, you know, everyone's like buying houses. Like, you know, you just bought your first house, Dave. You just bought your first house a couple of years ago. I'm trying to buy a house right now, right? And some people, the knock, you know, people will troll us and be like, yeah, dude, they're doing things that people were doing when they were fucked 28 years old.
Oh, like, you know, yeah, like, they're right.
No, it's true. But the reality is, like, when we were 28, 32, 35, like, we were still rolling the fucking dice on this and hoping that it would materialize into something where we have some shit to show on the other side of it. And that side of it is, like, that's where I'm, like, really fucking proud. I'm like, as I look at your house now, Jay, and I'm like, oh, you just fucking bought. And I know, once again, there's people out of college that, like, they get their job and they do their thing. It's like, that wasn't their dream when they were fucking 7 years old. You know what I'm saying? And it's right. Like the fact that you get to live your dream and you invested 2 decades into it before you truly realize that, yes, it was going to be as good as it is. That's the side of it where it's like
100%, dude. And it's also like, and I just don't know. It's like, I know we probably said this before. It was like, if people don't understand, it's just, again, the point that Jay was talking about, that's the hardest part in comedy. And, like, we know people who, like, you know, took off very quickly in comedy. There are people who just, like,
I can count on one hand the amount of people that, like, were fast tracked to the point.
Well,
where, like,
I mean,
oh,
I
wow, just, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, okay, that's true. It's not that common, but we also know people who just had like slightly easier paths, like maybe just got a gig and made pretty reasonable good money. Maybe didn't go become a superstar, but, like, they're. When you're young,
hold on. I don't want to cut you off, Dave. Leo said it took Shane a while too. Leo, no, it didn't. Shut up.
It didn't. No. But it's. I mean, Shane at about 11, 12 years in, Shane was, like, set.
Yeah, but that's
fast.
So much quicker
fast.
Than
that's
us.
Fast.
That was so much quicker than any of us.
And you took off 100 times
level.
Further.
Yes, than yes.
Schumer was like 7-8 years. That's crazy fast.
Pete Davidson.
He was like 7-8 years.
Pete was very fast.
By the way, these are all really talented people. These are all unique talents.
Yes, uniquely talented.
No question.
So it's not. There's no
Marcelo. It's happening to Marcelo now. Marcelo kills it on SNL. He does a great job.
You're like, when you're in your 20s, when you're 25 and you start stand-up comedy or something like that, it's like, first off, you're young. Being broke isn't that big of a deal. You also kind of are, like, wide-eyed and innocent.
It's also relatable for your jokes. You're writing jokes about having roommates and being in a shitty situation and not being able to afford a taxi.
There'd always be these possibilities, too, where you'd be like, hey, for 2 years in, I'm, like, a lot better than the other guys who are 2 years in. And then, so by the time I'm 5 years in, I'll get a TV thing and then I'll be this. And you kind of feel like, oh, the future will be good. But when you hit a certain point, for me, it was definitely like, is around 30s, like early 30s through mid 30s, where it's like, oh shit. You're at a point now where, okay, I'm 34. I've committed a decade to this. And nothing's paid off at all.
You still don't know.
And now you're like, oh, I'm looking at the prospect of giving this another 5 years and then at 40 realizing I've failed and having to figure out life starting from zero.
It's like 40. you're in quicksand terrifying. And you start wiggling and you're like, shit, dude, I'm sinking further, but I'm yes. here now. So this is there's no
like,
fucking.
Well, that's what it was. It's like I said, describing those things. Like I was 36 and I was like, if I don't do fucking eight spots a night on Friday and Saturday in the city, like I'm gonna have problems with bills this right. month. So it's like, that's what you didn't think you were like, it was, I didn't think I was gonna be hustling so hard, so close to 40. And you said, that's what gets scary as you start approaching the end of that second decade. You said that years ago, Lewis. I've used it since. I've always like, it does seem it's like these decade chunks. The problem is you get towards the middle of decade two, you're kind of like, oh man, well, come on, man. I thought this is like we're getting around the time where it's going to happen no matter what. I mean, for me, it was literally 17 years where I felt where I was like, yo,
comfortable.
I'll be like fine. I'll be fine.
Exactly. I just hit about 20 years. My first decade was figuring out how to be funny. My second decade was figuring out how to turn it into a business. And it took an entire second decade to, or nearly a second decade to really turn a corner where it was like, oh, this is what I'm doing with my life, unquestionably.
Oh yeah, well, also by the way, 17 years
ago. I think I'm right around the same trajectory as you, Jay, because I think I started 19 years ago.
Yeah, we're all around the same trajectory.
And 17 years, by the way, 17 years wasn't like a major financial shift. It was just the beginning. Like a couple things started happening where I was like, oh, okay. Like it's like things are moved. Just things
Jay,
are moving.
You actually probably had some of that blackness in you because you were also, once again, dude. This to so you guys understand. Like when I met Jay, he was a 5 year comic, 4 year comic, like very very young in your career. You were very young, but I was booking shows already. I was booking shows before I did stand up comedy, and Jay was my go to closer for a lot of my shows. You know what I'm saying? It was like you, Mike Britt, Mike Yard, all these black comics I'm talking about. Jay was like one of the only white guys that I would book to close. Because you would fucking level the room. Even as a 5 year vet, you would hit hard. You would hit like Greer hit or like Mike Britt hit that you've always been able to fucking murder. And it was almost a thought of the same thing where it's like you were just really bad at the business. It was, there's so terrible. Many, I could just, the amount of times like it, you were trying to help us, but I remember like being on Shiprocked and going like you'd book Shiprocked and you'd be getting paid $800 for the week plus like a free room and like a fucking bottle of liquor. And you would sell it to Shiprock as like, can Dave and Lewis come? And I remember this very clearly. He was like, you don't have to pay them. You give them the shittiest room on the boat. And that's when you started negotiations. And you weren't being shitty, dude. You were just so bad at business that you were like just happy to have your friends there. And you wanted to create the opportunity for us. But guys that are good at the business, they don't like Bert Kreischer. Well, never, you know, had weird. A conversation like that.
Do you know what I did on Mayhem Fest is one of my favorite things. When Christine sat there and watched this happen, it was like, that's when she was literally like, she go, oh my God, this is before I had management and stuff. She was like, holy shit, dude, you need a team.
you need a team.
It was crazy when we were very early dating for her to be comfortable to say this to me, but she couldn't believe what she just watched as someone who's worked in comedy was John Reese. If you remember the guy who owned Mayhem Fest, he was like, you know, he'd been in the business forever. The first year I did Mayhem Fest, he gave me $300 a day plus tour expenses. Which means going on the bus, like a place to go on the bus, and you know, food and everything. So, when I did it, he asked me to jump on for the last 2 or 3 weeks of Mayhem Fest in 2012. That's the one we all went to in Philly. It was the Slipknot year. And when I went there, about 4 days or four shows into that tour, he goes, "Jay, let me stop you for a second. We haven't talked about money at all." This year, you just came on the tour. So already that, I didn't even ask for any money of any kind. I just was like, I figured it'd be the same deal. He goes, well, let's see. He goes, it's 2 years later from the first time you did it. You're 2 years more famous. This guy was so sweet. He's like, you're 2 years more famous. He goes, so what do you say we do? You did 300 last time. He goes, let's do 400. We'll do 400 this year a day and tour expenses. And not only is that, probably he should have offered me more than that, but let's just say that's a nice bump, at least for her day. I went, dude, you don't have to do that. He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "I'll do it for what I did it for last time, dude. That was so generous to you last." And I swear to you, he goes, "Jay, I'm gonna say something right now." He goes, I'm a businessman, always first and foremost. So I'm gonna give you 350 a day, but that was a weird negotiation." And like he's like, "But all right, man." And he walked away. And I was like, "God, I'm glad that awkward conversation's over." And Christine was just like, "What the fuck did you just do? That's insane." She's like, "You just
It's
walked away
wild.
from a couple
I
thousand
see that.
dollars."
I see it happen a lot because, like, I collaborate with a lot of people, right? I work with an artist right now. I won't say his name, but he's great. He's fucking great. And I was talking to him today, about the Skankfest badges, right? And I was like, "Dude, I was like, how much did we pay you last year to do the Skankfest badges?" And he told me the number. And he's like, "But it was a rush job." He was like, "You guys don't have to pay me this much this year." And I was like, "Dude, ask for more this year." I was like, "It's a business." I was like, "If we can't afford to pay you more, we won't afford to pay you more." But I have enough ethics to like kind of coach him and be like, "Dude, don't shoot yourself in the foot because you're happy to be invited to the party."
Well,
You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's a
I've
weird thing
always been that
in because we really are in our own ways. I mean, we're three very different people, but all of us, and it's weird that this also applies to Lewis because Lewis really has a knack for business in general. But all three of us were spectacularly terrible at the business of stand-up comedy. Literally, all
Yeah.
in the old order, like before the podcast and fucking like social media or whatever, like the new, YouTube special, that in the old order when it was like the industry and doing all of that, we all just like for the level of talent that we brought, were like horrible at turning that into like success. Like Jay got in the clubs and stuff like that and did some festivals, but never really turned the festivals into what he should have been able to for the comedic
No,
talent he had.
I don't have a series. I don't have a bunch of pilots or
No,
I got a
it
deal. It didn't go
never, and it
anywhere.
was
Just none of those
never, and
things happened.
we all kind of thought too that Jay's like, especially back then, that we were like, Jay's just like sheer comedic talent is like, someone in the industry is going to figure this out and like, you know what I mean? Like, give it. And then Lewis, even though he always had a real business knack, you had like limitations that just didn't allow you to thrive in the comedy industry thing. Like, you were too. Lewis is a very talented business guy, but you've got to be like a free bird. Like, you're the leader.
I have to be the
If it's like,
boss. I'm not good at playing. I'm
if
not
it's
good
come
at. I'm
hang
not.
out at this party and schmooze with everybody there, Lewis just has no, like, I
I
mean, you
turn into
could
like
do
an
that.
autistic person. Like I won't talk to people. I'll sit in the corner of the room.
Yeah,
Hey, but
it's
by the
just
way, at
not.
Skankfest, when you see me at Skankfest, it looks like I'm like this, like a social butterfly, like because I'm in my element and I'm
Yes,
at the
yes.
helm. I'm really good at being at the helm. If there's
Yeah.
anybody above me, I get self-conscious.
JFL parties, dude. I fucking hate it. Stuff
No,
like
it's
that.
bad. It's really, really
Festival. I
bad.
don't like festival parties at
We were
all,
Jay.
actually.
We're all the same guy, in that sense. That's a, we
In
had
that
this
sense, yeah.
connection. This is, and it's why it took us 2 decades each to be able to realize like an actual
To
financial
have a
career.
home, to pay a bill and not
Yeah,
cry.
but no, the reality is like all of us, like every one of us, like if it was, and you guys are probably even better than me. Like when I did, and I did a lot of the shit you were supposed to do. Once again, 2 decades in this business, the business was very, very different when we were like 5, 6, 7, 10 years in, right?
Yes,
And
extremely
like I
revolutionized. There
went
was a
to
revolution in
the
it.
first
Yeah.
few times I went to LA. In fact, Northwest Ken is on this call right now. Northwest Ken was one of the people who picked me up for Driving Lewis. You guys remember I did like an early
Oh,
Periscope?
really?
Like, yeah, he
Yep.
picked me
I
up because
know
I met
Ken.
Northwest Ken. Ken's the fucking man, dude. And
Ken's
it
out in
was Seattle.
Washington State. It's Tacoma or is Tacoma?
Seattle. Seattle. He picked me up, dude, brought me and got me a fucking Seattle dog. He was super fucking cool. But I was doing this like quote unquote series where I'd be like driving Lewis. And all it was I didn't have money for a taxi. And I was like, oh, I'll just make it a bit where a fan will pick me up from the airport. We'll smoke. So I'll smoke their weed and then they'll drive me where I need to go.
Isn't that hilarious? You know, be funny as shit. Let me $20 for it.
Hey guys, almost in time for my new show. Lewis eats your food.
Yeah. Dude, why'd your girlfriend just fucking roadhead me in the back while we make our way down the highway?
But like, I remember I did an episode of that when I went to, do you guys remember this? I was in LA doing like a round of meetings. Like I was doing, you know, what do they call them? What are the meetings called? Where it's just generals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
General meetings. And it was essentially you're a comic, you have a shitty manager or an agent or whatever, and they would get you general meetings. And essentially you're meeting with Fox executives, you're
annoying the shit out of them.
They hate it, dude.
They roll their eyes at it in the morning when they see it on their schedule. It's like,
And you'd have like four or five meetings around Los Angeles. You'd go all over the place. And I remember I had a guy driving me around to these meetings for driving Lewis. I was like, hey, what's up, doggy? I'm on Periscope. I'm with John. John's driving all these meetings. It's just some fucking dude. He's got a dirty beard and a fucking blunt hanging in his mouth. I went to MTV. So. Like, what ideas do you have? And I was like, so I have this idea. It's called Driving Lewis. I told them, and I thought this was the most brilliant thing ever. I was like, actually, I had a guy drive me here. He's in the lobby right now. And they were so uncomfortable. They're like, wait, what? Who's in our lobby right now? I was like, yeah, I just met this guy like an hour ago. Guy, I don't even know who he is.
Untethered and doesn't have ID. So they won't let him up the elevator. Actually, if you guys could help him get up the elevator, it'd be great.
He doesn't have ID.
He's driving Lewis.
Dude, driving Lewis ruled. It was
amazing how much there was, you know, like everything flipped and it really worked out good for us. Like obviously like the podcasting stuff, like kind of connected for us. And you know what I mean? Like we were able to get our
broadcasting,
audience, like that
broadcasting
way.
Becoming a major. I remember when they started, what was Comical Radio and internet and all these things were coming out. And I was just like, didn't give a fuck. Didn't see.
Shut
what
up, Danny Lobel. You fucking dork.
I didn't think about the future.
He's interviewing Carlin. We're like, shut up.
It's amazing how much, cause I never quite got into like the sketch and internet things and viral videos, like stuff of making the internet, but I was broadcasting, man. I didn't know that was even going to be a part of what comedy was. And it's such a huge part of my life.
Same. Well, we all started Legion of Skanks. We said the N word and all that other shit, like super early. Like we had full fledged episodes, like Nigger Dick Part 1 and 2, where we didn't realize how any of it worked. We were like, let's just be as dumb as possible.
I mean, look,
if we knew there'd be a part three.
For Jay, it's a little bit more of a mixed bag. But even I think this is true to you to some degree, is really the podcasting is what hit. I mean, that's what transformed, certainly for me and Lewis, that's what transformed us into like successes to some degree. But, you know, before that was a thing, it was so funny because all of us would have friends. Like just we had all these friends who were other stand-up comedians who just like figured the industry thing out. Like they just figured out real quickly how to do that. And the three of us just never, it's like our personality types or whatever, just would never, we were never good at that aspect of it. So like the whole thing changing really worked out very well for us. Because the truth is, I'd imagine, if that hadn't been the case, I don't know where things would have gone. Like, you know, like I don't know. I don't know that. I don't think I was ever going to figure out success in that old model. I just don't think I had the skills.
And we all tried. Like I just don't know what
the next thing was. And I didn't have a million and one TV ideas. It just wasn't.
Yeah. All three of us did Montreal New Phases. We all did Last Comic. Well, I don't think you did Last Comic Standing, Dave. But
no, I didn't get on the show, but I auditioned for it.
Me and Jay both got on the show. I never did late night, but I went through the process of sending in tapes and getting notes back and sending in more tapes. And I was very close to getting Conan, very, very close. I remember I said it was 6 minutes or whatever it was, and they sent it back. They were like, all right, 4.5 minutes are approved. It was like, you need like another minute or minute and a half. And I was like, oh, I got
impossible.
This. And then I sent them another tape with the like a different minute and a half, and they sent me back.
Go, okay, 3.5 minutes.
Yes, I swear to God, you're joking. You're not even joking, dude. They literally.
I don't even remember this.
And it was the most disheartening thing that I ever I was like, what the fuck? It took me so long to get a tape that was clean, that was good, that like, and it was just,
took Jeff Singer 5 months to get a set what he thought would be okay for Jimmy Fallon.
But all of those things, like all of those traditional things that you were supposed to do, none of them materialized into anything until we found Legion of Skanks, until we found sort of a way to create our own audience. And that was it. You know, we were also fucking early adopters in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, we also, I said, we were also always willing to stay in our lane. then the lanes changed on us.
Yeah.
Fucking wild.
Before we get out of here, let's do some plugs.
Yeah, let's talk.
Oh, nice show. Nice little walk down memory lane. I thought this was a fun episode. Yeah.
I'll give it I'll go quick. BigJComedy.com or punchup.live/BigJOkerson, I think. For all my dates, I'm coming to a city near you. I'm coming on a city near you on Big J Okerson's Peter North American tour. Coming on a city near you. Look for one. I'm doing some of these arenas with Shane. And my second half of my crowd work double special, they is going to be coming out in about a month. 420, Dave Smith's birthday. Oh, happy nice. Birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Dave and Hitler.
And listen to the bonfire.
Thanks. Hey, thanks.
Of course, Story Wars. Story Wars is going to be taking over Nashville Comedy Festival. So fucking get your asses, get tickets for that now. We got some fun people possibly lined up for that.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Dave, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll be in Boston this next weekend and then I'm all over. ComicDaveSmith.com for my like tickets for the road and stuff, and partoftheproblem.com if you want to support my other podcast. And yeah, I got a bunch of big podcasts coming up, so be on the lookout for that. That's all.
Very cool, guys. Come see me on the road, the Louis J. Gomez Bring Five Friends tour. I'm very excited. I mean, I have 4 months until I film my special, which is July 12th in Tampa. So get tickets for that if you guys are in the area. But this weekend, I'll be in South Bend, Indiana. Sunday night, I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. Next week, I'm doing a little tour of Ontario, Canada, St. Catharines, London, Windsor, Burlington. Philadelphia is coming up. And I'm going to Europe with Scott Chaplin at the end of May. I'm going to be in Amsterdam, London, Dublin, Glasgow, Manchester. Going to be a great little tour. Very, very excited about all this stuff. The new material is great. I think you guys are going to really like it. It's the best stuff I've ever done. So please come out and support it. Thank you guys for being a subscriber to Gas Digital. You guys are watching the exclusive show right here. It's exclusively just for Gas Digital subscribers. The best fucking people in the entire world are people that subscribe to this network and support uncensored comedy. And check out all my other podcasts, Lewis and Zach, The Regs, and Story Wars, obviously America's new favorite game show, available wherever you guys find podcasts. And make sure you guys subscribe to my email list. I do a bonus podcast every Tuesday. It comes out. It's called the Lewis Journal Podcast. It's just me solo talking shit about life. I got a product that I'm launching right now. I'm giving inside information and samples of that. So go subscribe to my mailing list. You guys can get access to all that stuff. And thank you guys for just being here. We really appreciate you guys. I love doing the Friday Night Hang, and I love Jay and Dave, and maybe it's the whiskey talking, but I thought this was a great episode.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone. We love you guys. We'll catch you next time on Legion of Skanks. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.